So she when she first ran for city council, Patricia was in her campaign and she was physically attacked on the main street of the most famous city in São Paulo. And they didn't want to just kill Patricia, they want to kill a voice, a transgender voice in politics. But it didn't work.
Welcome to Tech Talks, hosted by myself, David Savage, and powered by Nash Squared.
On today's show, we are bringing you an interview that I recorded at Web Summit Rio, talking to Vote LGBT about trans issues and the queer community in Brazil, and particularly in Brazilian politics. But before that, I'm joined by Amber, and we are sitting on the rooftop of our office building in London, and summer has finally arrived.
Oh, no, finally, and it's glorious, isn't
yes.
it? It actually feels strange to be up here. Like, it seems like we had the longest winter ever, so yeah, it's very nice to get out and about and just get some fresh air and just a bit of sunshine on your face. Like, it makes you feel so good, doesn't it?
It does. And given that I recorded this podcast in Rio and it was 30 degrees, if we were now recording and it was like, I don't know, 13 degrees and grey and drizzly, it wouldn't feel right. So the fact that the sun is shining and it's warm.
Yes. Yeah, keep it going, Dave. Just keep going back and forth to Rio and bring us back the good weather. That's you can do that through winter. We'll be absolutely fine with that.
I'm sure the business would understand.
Yeah, exactly.
Why? Is it staff morale?
Exactly. Well-being. Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly that.
Yeah. Just a quick one. We're talking about, in particular, trans rights. I think trans rights are something that people are just getting their head around here in the UK, and there's a lot of, I hate to bring kind of politics and whatever else too much into the podcast, but culture wars going on and a lot said online. I have to admit, I feel like I'm someone who is quite plugged into the LGBT community as an ally. And yet my understanding of where these issues are at outside of Europe, never mind outside the UK, is basic. Like, it's kind of non-existent. I mean, do you have any understanding of how trans are viewed in Latin America, in Asia, in...
None whatsoever. Like, no. I say, I think everyone, it's like a lot of things, you kind of just, you keep it to your surroundings, and it's as sort of ignorant as that might sound, like you look at the news and you sort of see what's kind of current and you sort of try to sort of be as connected as you possibly can. To, like you said, to be an ally, to support, just try to sort of, to really kind of, sort of, you know, connect with different people and their different values. But
yeah.
That's very much here in the UK. I wouldn't have a clue about any different laws or rights or anything about anywhere elsewhere. If it's Europe, potentially, but if it's anything further afield than that, then absolutely no, I really wouldn't. And I feel really bad saying that as well. It sounds quite ignorant, but
I don't know whether you should feel bad, because it's obviously good to listen and to learn, but I don't think you can beat yourself up for necessarily. There's a lot going on in the world.
Oh yeah, no, 100%.
And the whole point is listening, right?
Yeah, no, definitely. And I suppose it's good that you go and have these conversations and bring it back to the pod, then it kind of, people can, you know, find out what's going on the other side of the world, and they can sort of see, oh, okay, well, how does that compare to here in the UK? And what things can we do differently? Maybe they do things that we don't do that we think, oh, that's really cool, actually, or vice versa. So, like you say, continuing the conversation, listening, trying to take things on board, that's how people learn, isn't it?
So, look, we'll play the interview. For clarity, Gui is the CEO of Vote LGBT. Patricia is a trans woman. She's an activist. Patricia only speaks Portuguese.
Okay.
Obviously, I don't speak Portuguese, so Gui is translating.
Okay.
Right, so we are editing this in a way that hopefully you are going to hear a number of different voices. You are going to hear some Portuguese, because I don't want to edit out Patricia's voice. I might not understand, but it's important, I think, that we hear her voice. So this is going to be a bit of an unusual listen, but we'll come back afterwards. So I've very kindly been joined by Gui and Patricia from Vote LGBT. This is going to be an interesting conversation, because Gui, you speak English, Patricia doesn't speak much English, so you're going to have to translate at times to make sure that we
help the audience understand what we're talking about. But I came across to the stage where you were giving a talk on bias and AI and making sure that the queer community is represented where AI is concerned. And unfortunately, it was in Portuguese. And my Portuguese is non-existent beyond bom dia and obrigado. So thank you for giving up some time and having a chat to me.
Of course, of course. They did translate it through the app.
Yeah.
So they might have a recording of it. If they do, I'll try to make sure it gets to you.
Hopefully, that okay. would be wonderful to have a listen. What were you talking about?
Okay, the first part of the talk, we are in a space where we've always been aligned with technology and with the latest that we could reach to do our work for the past 10 years, we have never been in a space like this, right? Like Web Summit. So talking to these people, so they don't know our problem. So first we start talking about political violence and threats against elected officials. Brazil is the country with the most transgender woman in Congress.
Really?
Yes. And that record number is 2.
Yeah, okay.
Right?
Mm.
So, but they were elected despite being sabotaged by their own parties, underfunded by their parties,
yeah.
And they faced people that were... They were competing with a lot more resources, and they won anyway, right? So these are our heroes, and they had to do their campaign wearing bulletproof vests and armed security. That was the conditions in which they won. Okay, and then we show a picture of them doing that. So. Then Patricia starts talking. Can I talk about what?
Of course.
Eu contei o primeiro pedaço da palestra para ele.
Sim.
Ele vai fazer um pouco desse jeito. Patricia starts talking about when she was physically attacked, when she was campaigning to one of these elected officials, who's also a black trans woman like Patricia. So when she first ran for city council, Patricia was in her campaign, and she was physically attacked on the main street of the most famous city in São Paulo. And they didn't want to just kill Patricia, they want to kill a voice, a transgender voice in politics. But it didn't work, because that candidate, Erika Hilton, was the most voted woman in the country with 50,000 votes to a black transgender woman in 2020. This is like huge, huge. And Patricia started working with her. And then Patricia comes to tell the story of a time that something that happened to her that's a little traumatic. It's where she was, it was inside the chamber, her office, her cabinet actually. And there was a guy, really a furious guy, wanting to kill the city council, the councilwoman, okay? And Patricia was protecting her, like there was a door between them and Patricia's body. So Patricia was, it was a trans woman protecting another trans woman's body, you know? Like where were the security? Where's the state? Where's the, you know, like where's the safety for these elected officials, right? And then like the man was there writing like a death threat with his own hands in front of her. That was the thing that, and then she started to talk about how much she beginning to fear for, like she would be just scared every time she would need to follow, you know, her boss somewhere. It was so that's it was like a very tense moment of talking about how hard it is to be an exposed LGBT person in Brazil.
Yeah.
Right?
So I come at this from the point of view that in the UK, I like to think that we're fairly progressive, certainly when it comes to elements of the queer community. So where you have gay, queer, gay, bisexual, lesbian people in our society, to a large extent, they don't suffer the levels of persecution that they used to. Mm-hmm. However, the transgender community is being targeted right now, and it's difficult. However, my dad is a transgender woman, transitioned over 20 years ago, and my marketing lead, Sam, who works for me, is a young transgender man, and he has a very different experience to my dad's as someone who's transitioned 20 years later. And he's always at pains to make sure that that community is listened to and they are given a platform to speak. So the fact that you are here is wonderful and that you're being given that platform. But I just wondered if you could ask Patricia what that talk represented as an opportunity for her and what she wanted the audience to take away from that talk today.
That's an expression. Wow, I have to translate a lot of things. Então, a pergunta, o horror Sim. diminuiu um pouco, talvez.
Sim.
Mas,
o que eu mais queria que as pessoas levassem é que os corpos LGBTs, principalmente as pessoas trans, estão revolucionando e tendo novos imagéticos e possibilidades. E assim, nós mesmos estamos conseguindo ser a protagonista das nossas próprias histórias e narrando isso em lugares, ocupando o Senado, todos os lugares que por muito tempo, muitas de nós não pudemos ocupar.
Maravilha. Ela respondeu que... Sorry. I started Portuguese again. So what she's saying is that the thing that she most wanted to let people know from our talk here is the fact that trans people are making a revolution in Brazilian politics, right? So like we are occupying the space, we're occupying the spaces and you know, making the change, taking the change in our own hands. I don't know if you, it's from the latest part of the talk, we talk about how, like, despite in the last elections, there was a huge extreme right wave in Brazil.
Yep.
Most of the, you know, like renovation groups and groups for women and black people in politics, they had their numbers like stagnated or decreased because of so much money, legal and illegal money to fund these campaigns that we were crushed, most of the progressive. But queer politicians, we have doubled in numbers. So it's still a very small number. It's from 9 to 18. Mm. But it's the same as Canada. But the difference is, in Canada, half of these elected officials are gay men. In Brazil, out of these 18 elected officials, 16 are women, 14 are black, and 5 of them are trans. So in Brazil, the electorate for queer politicians, for queer politics, to a politics that thinks that, you know, queer in the most amazing sense of the word, you know, like queer as is like it was strange, as different, as a new way of doing it, you know? This is like queer politics that we're talking about. Like, we are getting to those spaces and creating projects that's for everybody. One of the first projects was against hunger during COVID. Now, once they get into office, what they try to do is something that's for everybody. It's not only for the queer community. It's not only for the trans rights. Because we know also that because of structural LGBT phobia, like we are a lot more on the streets. So if you do a project for the homeless, which is a lot, there will be a lot of queer homeless because we experience, and we, as an organization, we produce data, like we do surveys, like we are very, very data focused. Like we have been interviewing like 12,000 people in person so far, more than 30,000 people online. We created reports during the pandemic telling about our vulnerabilities. So we know we are like in the low. So when they create projects for the underprivileged, they are creating a project for everybody. And we are included in this everybody. And this is what's different about they're doing politics.
Yeah, I did want to ask because you're obviously aware when you're in Rio, it's a beautiful city and Brazil is a beautiful country from what I've seen, but you are aware that there is, you know, with the favelas, there are people who are extremely poor and lacking resources, and there must be huge socioeconomic challenges for those communities. I've spoken to people before about going in and you know, they can be really innovative, forward-thinking communities, but getting them the resources and getting them the help is a big challenge in working with those communities. That must be doubly difficult for the queer community in favelas and giving them the support that they need.
Yeah, like, it's not only in the favelas, right? We're talking about homeless people.
I'm just thinking about the most...
Yeah, but because you're talking about... The problem in Brazil is not that there are poor people, it's actually like the difference between, you know, it's inequality. Right. It's how there's like such an amazing abundance of resources of every kind. Mm. And there's so much people lacking so much of these same resources that are abundant and could be more equally shared so that everybody could have a standalone. Okay. So I like to talk about homeless people. It's because we have not every country, especially like in Europe, or in the Northern Hemisphere, not every country would have such a thing like favelas. And this can be often like fetishized, eroticized in some way. Like it can be like, because you don't know the reality and it's so different from you. Yeah. I don't think I like to point towards homeless people because this is where we all have we have it everywhere.
Okay.
Okay. Like in every country, there will be homeless people, but our homeless people are often start from being expelled from their home because they're queer. So that's why we are more on the streets. So we're talking about something we all have, but we have more, and we have more as queer communities because we are expelled.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
With regards to the talk today and technology.
Yes.
Obviously, everyone is talking about AI. AI comes with bias. We know that. What was the message that you and Patricia wanted to get across with regards to AI and, you know, it's just a tool, AI. It's not neither good nor bad. What are you trying to get across to leaders here to understand about how that tool is implemented and the implications that it then has on the queer community?
So what we're doing exactly with AI is actually understanding that's a tool. Like we are fascinated by creating tools. This is like the thing that we do as an organization, that we have, like we create platforms for voters to meet their candidates. We create like a streaming platform for queer films, you know, during the pandemic. We're like 400,000 viewers users in a year with no money at all. You know, like we've been doing technology forever, since ever. And we saw in AI like another tool, right? That could be like well used. The question was, what if we use AI to defend democracy in Brazil? How can we? And the thing, we could use AI to generate data about online political violence in Brazil.
Yeah.
That's what we want to do with AI. We want to like develop. I don't know how to say these words in English. So I'm afraid some stupid in our podcast because I'm not very familiar with the translation of every term. But we are creating a bot, an AI. A sentinel brain, that is. You know, there will be like inputs from social media, like we will scan social media, like public comments from elected officials and people running, queer people running for office. Like we're expecting 800 for the next election this year alone.
That's incredible.
And we know that the violence is growing, you know? So we want to show, what we want to do, we want to create something, a tool, that will gather the data that we will use to start a public debate about the problem and change policy.
Yeah.
Right? So that's what is very good to do.
Yeah.
Is actually to create data. So we know the problem is huge, but there's no data. There's no reliable. That has been one of our biggest fights in Brazil. We're joining a suit against our Census Bureau because we've been asking them to count us, and they're doing it in a transphobic way, calling transgender woman not woman. Right? So like what they're doing, even under Lula's government, which should be from the left, that should care for us more, like we're still having to face like institutions that deny trans people their citizenship. That's what we're fighting for.
If I could ask Patricia, this conference is 30,000 people. What gives you hope that there are aspects on the right path, that we're moving towards something where there's less phobia and there's more acceptance and there's less violence?
Eu não sei se eu entendi a pergunta inteira, mas como você, eu não sei, You want to know how does she imagine or what?
What she's seen, because it's obviously a huge conference. What she's seen, and I appreciate that it might not be a lot, but hopefully stuff that you kind of go, that's really positive, that's really good to see that this is moving the dial.
Okay. Nossa. Amiga.
Não, eu gostei da pergunta. Intrigante, boa, interessante. Se a gente for pensar num cenário atual e num cenário há 34 anos atrás, onde um monte de travestis não estavam ocupando esse lugar, não tinha esse painel, é um caminho de que várias vão conseguir vir depois dessa abertura, é uma ruptura dentro de um sistema, porque não adianta eu dizer que é pouco e eu ser infeliz de dizer que esse lugar não está sendo cavado. Está sim, espero que daqui para frente venha mais e mais e mais, mas hoje é um momento de celebração que demos o pontapé.
Uau! Ela falou que ela gostou muito...
We do have Portuguese listeners, but I will be lost.
Yes, I'm afraid of them too, because they will know how bad of a translator I am. I'm sorry. Desculpa, gente, eu tô fazendo o melhor que eu posso, mas eu não sou profissional. é muito... She was saying how she sees a lot of good... She feels a lot of hope for the fact that she was a guest speaker today, yeah. Right? It's like it is a breakthrough that a black transgender woman is a guest speaker in Web Summit, you know, in an event here in Brazil. Like we don't know of another one. You know what I mean? Like right now here, like she said, like I could think about like how little we are right now, like how few of us we see. When we walk around here, like how rare we are still in this type of event. But at the same time, just the fact that she was there and it was such a well-received talk, you know, like we've been having so much feedback about how people were moved, people would stop us here and people from the conference, they were like inviting for next year. You know, just the fact, you know, that we are here and we were so, the things that we had to say were so well-received. She believed it will create like a momentum for this thing to expand, for us not to be the only ones, you know, for, you know, we have a more of a queer, there's even like events on queer AI, you know, like we are organizing, like we are reachable, you know, like it's so funny. There was like an article from Wired saying about how, non-binary people are often like displayed with the pink hair every time AI creates one. And then they're like, well, you know, stereotypical. I felt a little stereotypical, but it was funny, but it's also concerning, right? Because like one kind, like there would be like, you know, it's a little too often then, you know?
Yeah.
So are we discussing this kind of biases? Like, are we, you know, like, but or are we can discuss this kind of bias and work towards it, but we can also make something like the Sentinel that we're building work, you know, like, because it could actually save lives, because it could warn people when they're like targeted at the same time, because it happens, right? And often these targeted attacks can convert to another kind of track. We could actually like understand who are, get the IPs and the screenshots. So we have criminal proof of this crime that is happening on the internet inside the big techs.
Yeah.
Inside Facebook, inside Instagram, you know, it's happening. We can have like, and actually make them accountable, not the big techs necessarily, but the people who are doing the attacks, because we can get the first one, not the last one. Right, who started the attack. We can get someone a lot closer to the chain of command or where these hate crimes, because they are using this. Don't, like, it's not because they really hate us, because we are useful to gather their people, right? Because they imagine like an idyllic past where everything was good and abundant, you know, and everything was organized, and even queer people didn't exist. There were only two genders. Oh my God. You know, like, it's all like we are the symbol of the evil. Like everything changed a lot, but we are being put as a scapegoat and as a tool for the, we are an effective tool for them to gather everybody around the idea of a distant path, yeah. past. That's why we're targeted, but we are being targeted right now.
Look, obrigado. Thank you so much for your time. It's been a real privilege to listen and just to hear what you have to say and to kind of learn as much as you can, because obviously it's all very well running a podcast from London, from the UK, and talking to people overseas, but being here and actually listening and being open to other cultures and ideas and what's going on in other places is really important. So I really do appreciate your time, and I hope that you have a really wonderful time whilst you're here at the rest of the conference, and you manage to make the world a safer place.
We can do this if we do it together.
Yeah. Thank you.
Look, we've had a podcast
which raises some really important issues and is quite heavy hitting. I don't think that there's anything that we can really do to add to that conversation. I do want to kind of end the podcast, I suppose, on a slightly positive note. Obviously, in this, you can hear my inept language skills.
Yeah, Dave, I was a bit disappointed. I thought you were going to say, when you sort of did that nice intro beforehand,
that I speak Portuguese.
You were like fluent Portuguese or something, right. But you didn't, unfortunately.
No, I was just going to ask, have you ever been to a country where you've been completely unable to communicate?
Oh yeah, many a times.
Yeah.
So when I went to Vietnam, I was kind of expecting it to be a little bit more. This sounds so ridiculous, but I went to Thailand and then I moved on to Vietnam after that, and then obviously Thailand is very westernized and they speak very good, not very good English, but at times in certain places there are people that speak very good English. And I went to Vietnam with kind of the same expectations, thinking, oh, okay, it's fine, like they'll speak the language or they'll be able to get the basics, or we should be able to communicate like quite effectively. And we just didn't, and I just didn't have any. There was a massive language barrier, which saying it now you'd think of course there would be, you're in Vietnam, but at the time I was like,
you take it for granted though, don't you?
Yeah, you do. Like I was just thinking, okay, well in Thailand a few people knew how to speak English and we had like some basic conversation. So I was thinking, no, but he'd be absolutely fine, like surely it's going to be exactly the same. It was not. I didn't have a clue what I was eating, no clue where I was going, like trying to just to do everything, you just felt so restricted, I guess. Like
you say that, right, but I also think it's kind of liberating.
Yeah, to be fair, when I've been to Europe and done a lot of my like little solo trips, a lot of the time I will go and I would just kind of figure things out, and I love that like ambiguity.
Yeah.
I love just being like, okay, I'm in a totally different country, let's just see what happens. I think the only thing with it being Vietnam, like I say, was just like I'm the fussiest of eaters, and like just eating things and just getting around.
But there's something liberating about ordering at a restaurant and not really knowing what's coming and just kind of being a little bit more like whatever, living in the moment, not worrying too much. And I totally get that. If you've got allergies or a fussy eater or something like that, that's less ideal. Like if you had an extreme nut allergy, that's going to be a problem.
Yeah.
But I'm lucky that I don't have those. And in a way, there is this liberating factor that comes off the back of it.
No, and I do totally get that, because I feel like when you go on holiday and you've got everything so planned out to the last like second, and it's quite regimented, and it's just I don't know, you just know, it's so much like home, like you can just go somewhere, like if you were to go to Europe, for example, and it's just exactly like being back in the UK, you just feel like, well, it's no different, like I might as well just be at home.
Yeah.
So yeah, that sense, like you say, I can see what you mean, where it's liberating and it's kind of, it's fun and it's the enjoyment of like working things out for yourself.
Yeah.
And I do totally get that, but like I say, it was a big kind of cultural shock as well, I think. So. Yeah, like I say, that was a bit of a wake-up call.
Google Translate, best friend in those situations.
At the time, didn't think of that either. So I think I just kind of like, just sort of struggled through. But we got there. It's fine.
So in Brazil, I had a conversation that lasted 2 or 3 hours via text on Google Translate at a concert with a guy stood next to me. And it was funny.
Really?
We were literally typing into Google Translate and handing the phone backwards and forwards. But it was at a concert. It was an acoustic set, so it wasn't like a jumpy round concert, like where you were just stood listening to music, and it was quite nice. But it was also very loud. So we would have been shouting in each other's ear anyway. Mm. So it's kind of funny, like having a text conversation, but with all of the facial expressions and body language and everything else added to it. It kind of worked quite well. But
That sounds very cool, actually. Because I just think sometimes, and this sounds a bit deep or whatever, I feel like you could go to other countries, like you say, and you get so much off someone's like body language, expressions, their general mannerisms, and actually you could probably connect better with that person than you could someone in the UK that speaks every word of English, and you know you could sit and have a full conversation with them. So Google Translate, I'll remember that for next time.
Well, look, let's draw an end to this particular edition of the podcast. and we will be back on Monday.
Tech Talks is hosted and edited by David Savage. It is produced by Nash Squared. And we have special thanks to Lemzy for supplying music to this show.